So it's a real joy to be with you this evening, and I do count joy to be here. We're very grateful to be here in an official capacity this time. We've been in and out and visiting, stopped in a couple days here and there, and then haven't really been here on an official visit. So tonight I'm greatly pleased to be able to present the ministry and to talk to you about what God is doing in the country of Ecuador. And it's a privilege to be here. I'm not going to be able to be here for the missions conference in April, so we asked the pastor if it would be okay if we came during another time to share what God is doing in Ecuador, because it's very important for my wife and I to communicate to you the ministry that you have been a part of. And that's what we hope to do today and this evening, as clear as possible, to give you a picture of what God is doing in the country of Ecuador, in our little small place in the world. But it's a joy to be here and to be able to do that with you this evening. Before I go any farther, though, there's a few items of business, I guess, that I'd like to take care of before we get started. And one is that Trina and I wish to express our deepest and most sincere gratitude to you as a local assembly. You folks have been with us for a lot of years, ever since the beginning, since we first were young whippersnappers, like some of the young marrieds I see around here. We were that one time, and we set out to the country of Ecuador, and you as a church backed us and helped us and supported us and have prayed for us all those years, and we wish to thank you for that. But not only us, the church in Riobamba is aware, and they know that we exist there because of local churches like this one. And they wish to also express gratitude to you and to the ministry of the different churches here in the States for making it possible for us to go there. So between that, we have concocted this plaque. And we always receive from you guys things, so we want to give something back to you as a church. Just a simple little token of our appreciation from us and from the church in Riobamba, expressing our thanks and gratitude for your involvement in our ministry over the years. So it just says thank you. It's a handmade plaque in the country of Ecuador, and you guys can put this wherever you'd like to put it. If it goes in the file under T, that's fine too, but there it is, and we wish to just use that as a method of expressing our appreciation to you and to your thanks over the years. And I think it's touching, too, that the people there wanted to send back something to express their appreciation for us being there. They say to me constantly, "Where were you? How come it took you so long to get here?" And the fact that their lives are changed, they're different people now, they have a hope that they didn't used to have, is something that they deeply appreciate. Obviously not because of Trina and I, but because of the power of God. Next thing we'd like to mention is that we send out a monthly update through email. And if you don't get that, but you would like to get that, you need to just talk with my wife, and she'll jot down your email address, and we can add you to the list of people who get that. I think the era of paper prayer letters is pretty much gone. So we do this electronic thing now. Even us old folks have gotten into that. And we send that out every month. So if you want to get that and you don't, then just talk to Trina and give her your email, and we'll be glad to add you to that. And also we have some prayer cards, updated prayer cards, which only has Trina and I on it. First time. So if you'd like some of those too, we'd like to give you those, and you can put them someplace where you'll forget about it. All right, that's the business part. My goal for this evening is not necessarily to preach, although I love to preach, but I think it's very important, and we feel very important, the need to communicate to you what God is doing in Ecuador. And as Steve mentioned, there's been some things that have gone on, and through it all, we have been able to see the Lord's faithfulness. And the ministry has grown. There are lives that are changed. There are people's hearts who have changed from darkness to light, from a lost state without Christ to having victory in Christ. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. And to see people who once were lost in their sin, stuck in a system of religion, trying to do their best, as we heard this morning in Sunday school, through tradition and through good works, but finding absolutely no hope in that, being faced with the truth, coming to grips with it, understanding it, turning from darkness to light, is just an incredible thing. And it's happening. It's happening in Ecuador, in the little town of Riobamba. And our goal for this evening is to communicate as clearly as we can. We're going to show you some pictures, help you see a little bit about what it is, try to explain a little bit about what we've been doing and how the Lord has blessed, so that you can walk away with a knowledge of, a little bit of a knowledge at least, of the ministry that you are a part of. And it's important for me to say that you are a part of the ministry. You have supported and you have prayed. And you've been through thick and thin with us on many of these areas. And we are just so grateful for that, that I want to hopefully do the best I can do to show you what you've been involved in. Because we don't consider it something that we have done. We reiterate the words that we heard this morning in the message from Ephesians, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, unto given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Now, Trina and I just consider ourselves to be humble servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministers according to the gift of grace that God has given us. Through the grace of God, He has allowed us and given us the great privilege to be involved in some incredible things. And anything that takes place in the country of Ecuador, any life that is changed, any church that is built, any person that finds hope, does so not because of us, but because of the power of God in his life. And to be involved in that and to be able to just see that change, to watch the light bulb come on in people's eyes, to be able to present something to them, watch them struggle through it, help them understand it, show them the biblical principles, and watch them grasp it, and in turn their lives over to Christ is just very, very humbling. And it's all through the power of God that that takes place. And because we are definitely convinced that it's also because of the prayers of people like you folks back here in the States. So we want to just communicate that. So the first thing we're going to do is show you a brief video. That's not really a video, but it's just some pictures of the ministry. It's going to tell you a little bit about the country, and it's going to explain a little bit about the local church that we have been involved in the last 10 years. And we've been in Ecuador for a lot of years, but it's the last 10 years that we've been in this city called Riobamba. And so I'm going to just concentrate this evening on talking about this last ministry in the city of Riobamba and try to help you understand that. But when you see it, when you're looking at it, the pictures of the people and the faces that you see and the situations, the town, just be aware that these people are people who have been touched by the gospel. Their lives are different now because of the truth of Jesus Christ. So as you look at this, maybe you can keep that in mind. So if we can get this technological thing working, we'll do that.
Blessed be our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with unspeakable blessings in heavenly places. What a privilege to serve the Lord in such a beautiful country as that of Ecuador, South America. With the Andes mountain range running through the middle of the country, there is a diverse and beautiful array of countryside. Ecuador has three main regions, each with its own unique beauty. There is the coastal side of the mountains, where the beaches and palm trees abound, and the fertile flatland, where the banana plantations produce the bananas that make Ecuador one of the world's largest exporters of this product. There is the mountain range, where the cities and vegetation are at an altitude that ranges between 8 and 11,000 feet above sea level. Here's where the snow-capped mountains can be seen that attract many a tourist mountain climber. Much of the country's vegetation and grain is produced in the mountains. Then there is the jungle side of the mountains. It is here that much of the country's natural resources lie, such as the oil which has helped the country sustain itself. It is to this beautiful country that God has led the Mayfield family to dedicate their lives to missionary service. 25 years ago, on January 25, 1987, God allowed us to set foot in the country in which He would have us serve. We have been involved in a variety of ministries over the years and have been blessed to see God's work in a variety of ways in the lives of the Ecuadorian people. It is in the last 10 years that God has allowed us to minister in the city of Riobamba, which is located in the province of Chimborazo. The city lies at an altitude of about 10,000 feet above sea level and is nestled in the shadow of several snow-capped mountains, which can be seen from the roof of our house. The city has a population of about 185,000 people as of the last census. It is a growing city, and therefore strategic for church planting. Although the people in Riobamba are highly committed to tradition and to religion, we have found some receptivity to the gospel, for which we thank God. Much of the country's history is made here in Riobamba, as some important events have taken place, leading to the country's independence. And some famous men in Ecuadorian history come from here. Many of the country's advancements first took place here in Riobamba, such as the first constitution, the first radio station, the first national bank, among other things. When we returned to Ecuador from our last furlough, it was to continue ministering in the city of Riobamba with the goal of establishing the church in that city. Up until that time, there had been a gathering of people who had gotten saved through the ministry of our team, and who we had arranged those believers into a church plant. Our goal was to take the new church plant to a place where they were no longer just a beginning church starting out. We wanted to develop the church into an organized, doctrinally solid, fully functioning, autonomous, national and local church. The process of taking this church plant and seeing it develop into a solid, Bible-believing church was the task that God has given us to be involved in these past years. Many things have taken place, and many lives have been touched and transformed by the power of God's Word. Now, it may be helpful to understand that in our opinion, a church plant is not yet an organized body of believers functioning as an established local church. It is the beginning of this. They do not have their own leadership, no formal meeting place, and are just beginning to understand the concept of what a biblical local church is all about. The missionary is in the process of teaching the many aspects of a local church, and therefore is performing many of the duties related to this. This is a temporary situation, and while the missionary tries to do as little as possible and get the people involved as much as he can, there is a process of learning and developing that has to take place on the part of the people who have never previously been introduced to the concept of a local church. The believers must grow in this new relationship that they have with their Savior, and they must learn what their function and role is in the body of Christ, and then how that relates to a local church. Part of our plan and strategy for the teaching of these concepts is to use home Bible studies. Afternoons and evenings are used for these studies in people's homes. we have found this method to be very effective in our evangelism and discipleship efforts. To be able to meet with people in a setting that they are comfortable with allows for a nice opportunity to introduce biblical themes that they need to learn for their own salvation, for their growth, and for their maturity. These Bible studies were useful to teach about the role and function of a local church, who its leadership should be, and how it should function. At this particular time, the physical meeting place of our church was not stable, as we ended up moving from place to place. It was during one of these moves that the Lord placed on the heart of one of our believers the desire to help out. He made available a piece of land and flipped most of the bill for the construction of the building. As payment for rent, we, as a congregation, were responsible for the labor put into the construction and also for the upkeep. What a blessing this was, as we were able to come together as a body to build a building that would suit our needs. The experience and fellowship of this process was a blessed and wonderful time for our growing local church. We had a group of men from one of our supporting churches come down and help with the construction. National men from the church took off time from work to help, and many of the believers pitched in to accomplish the work of the building. This was a great thing, and it served us well for the last 4 years. Our first official meeting in the new building was the Christmas program of December 2008. It was by the end of January 2009 that we officially inaugurated our church as a local body of believers and not just a church plant. This was done with a special meeting and by placing into action our first group of men as leaders of the church. We had taught and explained what it meant for them to have their own national leaders. We had prepared the men, and the church voted in their first group of leaders. From this point on, the church was no longer just a church plant, but rather a church that was on its way to being established and autonomous. Since its incorporation in January of 2009, the church has grown in maturity as well as numbers, for which we praise the Lord, and we give thanks to Him as well as to the support and prayers of our churches and supporters in the United States. The Lord works in mysterious ways sometimes to accomplish His work. We simply follow His leading. Shortly after the establishment of the church, there was some upheaval on our field, and the church went through a tough time and nearly disappeared. However, the church did not disappear, and after coming through the problems, it has grown and strengthened. Decisions have been made and things taken place so that legally the church is up to date and meets the requirements placed on it by the government. A second group of leaders has been voted on and are functioning properly. Families have grown and have become committed to the Lord and to the local church. New believers are being added to the body of Christ and being discipled into the church. The believers have grown to the point where they have followed the Lord in obedience to Him by becoming baptized. God is leading toward the development of this autonomous and self-governing, self-supporting church. We are thrilled and count it a wonderful privilege to be involved in what God is doing in this city and with this group of believers. Recently, however, the church has been given another challenge. They received information that due to the financial situation of the family that rented to us, they must now sell the property we were using. So, that leaves the church in a bind again, in regards to an adequate meeting place. Now, something else has to be done. What has been decided by the leaders is to purchase, in the name of the church, some property, and to build their own building that will meet the needs of the church for the future. This requires quite a financial commitment and will necessitate the involvement of the whole assembly. We ask that you please pray for this group of believers during this process of purchasing and building something that is permanent for the next few years. As we consider the future of the ministry here in Riobamba, we have several points that we are praying about and for which we are asking the Lord for direction. First of all, we are asking for direction in regards to our involvement with the newly established church in Riobamba. We do not need to have the same relationship with them as we have had in the past, because they are pretty much on their own. what we do feel we need as the next level of involvement would be a mentoring, guiding relationship from behind the scenes. We'd love to see them call their own pastor, or see one of them step up to the pastoral preaching role. This would be a paid position as the church takes on its responsibility to care for its own leaders. The next thing that we are asking the Lord for is to guide us in an in-depth Bible training. We would love to start some kind of formal Bible institute or higher level of training than we have given in the past. Kevin would be able to dedicate more time to this as he would have a much less consuming role in the church itself. Although we have done some in-depth training in the past, there is need for something more concrete, organized, and recognized that could be used for preparation of servants, who will then be used to expand the ministry to other areas. Lastly, we're asking the Lord to lead us into a new area that needs a solid, fundamental, Bible-believing church. There are several towns nearby that are definitely in need of the gospel. Several of the believers have contacts and family members in some of these places that could be used as a starting point. We are open and willing to go wherever God leads us in the coming years. The primary method that would be used to do this is with the help of the believers from the established Riobamba Church. We are asking God to lay it on the hearts of some of the believers to be involved in missions in this way. We would like to see the existing church get behind the new church plant and support it and help it get going. We would like to see the existing church be involved in sending out lay people to be involved in the new church plant. This is a new concept and will need to be understood on their part, but it is biblical, and they need to be involved in missions just as much as any other church in the world. Our goal is to see this take place in the coming years. We thank God for you and for your prayers and involvement in our ministry over the years. God has surely blessed and has gone about the business of establishing His work and calling out people from the world to the wonderful family of God. In our small corner of the world, we have seen the power of God's Word and ministry of the Holy Spirit taking place in changing lives for His glory. We humbly thank God and ask that you continue to pray with us for the future of this ministry. Until the day when God is finished with us here on this earth, we wish to serve Him as faithful servants of the One who has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. May God continue to build His church in Ecuador.
So I hope that gives you at least a little bit of an image to keep in mind, some pictures. I'd like to do a little bit of clarifying now and go with you over some of the issues that were mentioned there to help us understand a little bit about the ministry there. Those people that are that you saw there, they're close and dear friends of ours. We've been involved in their salvation and watched them grow in Christ, and it's a privilege to do that, and to watch them develop, and as a new believer grows and finds out things and discovers truth from His Word, and how they apply that to their life, and their life changes. It's an incredible thing, and those people are very dear to our heart. I'd like to answer the question, perhaps, where is the church now? Where does it stand right now? And right now, the church is, as far as I know from the emails that we have had since we've been back in the States, continuing forward. They haven't dropped. They continue to grow. In fact, one of those last slides up there where there was two men talking to each other, a taller man talking to a shorter man, the taller man was not saved when we left. But we just got an email the other day with a picture showing him trusting Christ as his personal Savior since we've been gone. So the church is growing, and it's functioning. The men are in charge of leading it, and that one of those very last pictures of the group of people sitting around the table is the leaders of the church and their wives. We've spent a fair amount of time with that group of people on a personal level, meeting with them frequently, teaching them the aspects that are involved in a local church, telling them about the things that I did that they are going to now have to do, and instructing them on the different stages and how they need to go about it. And so there's a group of 9 men who are basically doing the ministry in Ecuador now in that church. So they take turns leading the service, and they go through a rotation of preaching. And so far, thankfully, they've been able to maintain the work, and we're very happy about that. And just thrilled to see what God is still doing. And the fact that the Bible studies are continuing, people are getting saved even in our absence, is very encouraging. And so that's where they stand right now. But what they lack, where the church is at as far as what it needs still, is in the area of Bible knowledge. So those 9 men are men who are capable of leading, and they are taking their position in leadership. But they have a sore lack of Bible knowledge. I mean, when I met them, some of them not that long ago, I didn't even know how to find the book of Philippians in the Bible. They hadn't held one. They didn't even know how to find a scripture passage. So through the process of learning and teaching, the whole concept of biblical stories or theology, even vocabulary, is all completely new. And so it's a process as a person has to soak in something that's completely new and adapt it as his own and begin to learn, and to the point where he's familiar with it. You know how that process goes. That's what we go to Bible college for 4 years or 8 or whatever it is. So that's where the men are at this particular point. They have some knowledge that they've been able to gain. Most of them have attended what we called a Friday night in-depth Bible study, and we talked about theology, and we taught them some courses in that realm. But one night a week is pretty limited as far as what you can do. And they all have their own jobs, run busy lives, they have families. And so it's a limited amount of time that they can give to separate for the learning of scriptural principles. And so it's a slow process. And so those men need something more in depth. They just need to grow, just have to go through the process of learning and somebody to teach them. So when we go back, that's something that we'll be involved with. And I mentioned in the slide series some sort of an institute or some higher level of training. I'm not real sure how that's going to work out. There's several possibilities for that. But somehow we're going to have to be involved in something to help the men become more and more grounded in the things of the Scriptures. One of the things that there's a constant danger of is infiltration of false doctrines. They're all over the place in Riobamba, constantly bombarded with things, and they question and confusion. And so they need to know how to defend their faith. They need to know what is biblically true and why they believe what they believe. And so that's an important phase that's coming up, and we'll have to be involved in that. Also, this idea of going out to start another church plant, as we mentioned. That is a concept that we're going to have to teach the church also. As probably any pastor of any church knows, it's easy for the congregation to say, well, let the pastor do it. And the people in Riobamba are no different. They look at me and they say, well, you do it. And they talk to somebody and they get talking about spiritual things. They say, I don't know. Let's go talk to Kevin. So we've been working on the idea that they are responsible and they need to learn the concepts of salvation and the biblical verses and be able to explain it so that they can do the teaching. It's not necessary for me to do it, but they can introduce scriptures to their family members or to their friends. So we need to work on the concept of them catching a vision for outreach. And up until now, it's, you know, for the new believer, sometimes they're just soaking things in, and their constant phrase is, "We don't know." And what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? And so that keeps them from doing it. So we need to do some sort of training to help the people get a good grasp of salvation, how to explain the plan of salvation to somebody, how to approach that. We work with them on areas of what kinds of things to say when you approach them. They have a tendency to, once they get saved and they realize the falseness that they've come out of, they tend to attack then the falseness. So they say, "I can't believe that I used to believe that. And you believe it. That's crazy. You got to let go of it." And they start to attack the other person's religion. And so for them to understand that that's not necessarily a good process, we need to figure out methods to be able to approach people. And this is all part of trying to develop a team of people who will be used as an outreach team. So what we'd really like to do is have the congregation grasp this concept of missions, of outreach. And even to the point where they financially support a group that they're sending to another part of town. And those cities that you saw that are potential cities, they're all within 10 to 15 miles from Riobamba. So it's fairly easy for them to get there. And they could form a small group of 3 or 4 or 5 people, and they could go on a Sunday afternoon to one of these towns, and they could begin to minister. That's what I'd like to see happen in the future. We need to teach these guys how to do that. We need to help the church catch the vision for it so that they can in turn send this team out to do that job. And as that happens, Lord willing, and according to the plan of God, we'd like to see churches established, church plants established in the variety of those small towns that were around there, using the Riobamba Church as the central established church. So as was mentioned there, they're fairly well grounded, and they're pretty much on their own as far as functioning on a regular basis. And what they need is some in-depth stuff, and they need some vision, and they're going to need some help and guidance in an outreach program. But I really think that that's the best way to go about it. If the national church can reproduce itself, then that's the way to handle it. It's a whole lot better for them to go out and do the ministry than for me to go and do it. I can help them, I can teach them, I can show them how to do it. But we can accomplish a whole lot more, and it'll be a whole lot more effective when the nationals are doing that work. So that's the goal, to do that, to train them, to help them gain this vision for ministry in the future. And we ask that you pray for us on that. I don't really know how I'm going to go about this institute thing or higher level of education situation. The government is placing requirements on those kind of things now, and they're cracking down on what they call religion now as never before. So there are some requirements and regulations that go with that kind of thing. It's even affecting the church in the fact that the government is sticking their hand into the operation of a local church and how it goes and what it can and can't do. So that has some tricky things with it. But the idea is to help them do that outreach. So somehow, some way, we'll be involved in that in the coming years. And the concept of them serving, reaching out, teaching others is a multiplication process. And that comes from Timothy, the faithful teaching faithful men who in turn teach other faithful men. And we'd like to implement that and see how that works in that. The other thing is that I don't normally tell stories, I guess, but I would like to communicate a few stories with you this evening about some of these people. As I mentioned, they're dear to my heart, and I just would like to tell you how your prayers have impacted some of these people. And they're up in the pictures, some of them, but just before we left to come back on furlough, there was a lady in one of our Bible studies who said to me, "Kevin, you don't know this, but back when I first attended your Bible study, there was something going on in my life that was completely changed by the gospel. And she went on to explain that this was our very first Bible study. I think we've communicated with you before how we took this walk through town and established a routine. And little by little got to know people. And pretty soon one of the ladies invited us to her home. Well, that took about a year, but that particular lady had some friends. And so she invited other people, and it ended up that we were having a pretty regular Bible study with five different couples. And the fact that they were couples was amazing to me, the husband and wife. The last couple that was invited to attend this, by name of Millie and Beachy. Millie tells me that the night that I was invited to that Bible study was important to me because that day I had decided that the following day I was going to divorce my husband. They were having such terrible family marital problems that she, the following day, was going to go file the divorce papers. But that night, she said, these people invited me to the Bible study. So they went, and she says, that night, the Bible study was about forgiveness and how Christ has forgiven us. And the idea of Christ giving his life to forgive me of my sin overwhelmed me, she said. I couldn't stop thinking about that. And we touched on the verse that if Christ has forgiven us so much, how can we then not forgive others? And she went home that night and thought about the concept of God's forgiveness for her. And she said that night she decided, I need to forgive my husband. So the next day she did not file the divorce papers. Well, long story short, took about 6-7 months. Finally, Millie and Beachy accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And they gave their heart to Christ. And now everything changed. She says, our family now honors the Lord. Where before our family was in complete ruins, now we have hope. And it didn't take too long before the three boys, they have three boys who are now in university, they accepted Christ as their personal Savior also. So now she has a Christian family. And she was telling us this in tears not long before we left, just expressing her gratitude. Where would we be had not the gospel of Christ come into our life? Well, I don't know. You know, she'd been divorced, separated. Her kids would have probably been who knows what. And she just couldn't get over the fact that how God had influenced their life. And her husband, by the way, Beachy, was a man known throughout town. He's a little short guy, but he's a holy terror. He was. He's an only child. The whole city knows Beachy, and they all know him as a real bad guy. And he had a reputation for drinking, for sports, for gambling, for doing everything that was wrong. He was involved in it. And this reflected on his family. And this is one of the reasons Millie was going to divorce him, because there was abuse in the home because of it. This whole concept of a macho male situation is influenced there, and it just destroys homes. But when Beachy got saved, he began to leave all that. He quit joining his friends for volleyball and gambling, quit the drinking after work, started changing his life, began to treat his wife better. She can't believe the change. And every time somebody from town meets him, they can't believe the change. And I've been walking down the street with Beachy before, and people greet him and say, what happened to you? And he goes like this when he points at me. It's not because of me, obviously. But here's a family that, because of the gospel of Christ, now live a completely different life. They're leaders in the church. He's one of the men that takes turns preaching, does a fabulous job at it. There's another man by the name of Enrique who came to us not long after we returned this last time, a couple years ago, said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Well, I don't have much to do with that because I don't have any luck with Jehovah's Witness. But this man was interested in the truth. He said, this is different here. He had been invited by another man from our church to come. He's a carpenter. He works in the carpentry shop with this other man who was a believer. And he had invited him. He came, he listened. He said, this is different. He said, will you come to my house and teach? So we went to his house on a regular basis for about a year, or 6 months, I suppose, before he finally accepted Christ as his Savior. He was ready. He saw the difference. He was open to the Scriptures. And if this word said it, then he was ready to accept. And he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. His wife was not quite so ready. His wife was influenced by her family. Her family was very upset with the fact that she was studying the Bible. But nevertheless, about a year later, his wife finally accepted Christ too. So now here's a young couple that are believers raising a family in our church. But the point is, Enrique was another one of these holy terror type guys. He was well known throughout the town. And after his salvation, I think God gave him the gift of evangelism because he can't stop talking about salvation to other people. And so he was witnessing to some of his friends. And one day I went to the house to do the study. He says, "We're not going to do the study here today." He says, "I want you to come with me." So he took me over to a friend of theirs' home. And here was a family of people who had just lost their mother. They were grieving. And he said, let's explain the gospel to these people. These people are open. So we began a Bible study in their home. And over the course of time, that family also accepted Christ as their Savior. And in that process, they say, "We can't believe that this is really happening to us because of how it happened." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, the fact that Enrique was the one that introduced us to the truth is amazing." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, Enrique used to be our friend when we were in high school. And Enrique was such a bad person and such a horrible influence that my mother prohibited us to have anything to do with him." So here's Enrique, prohibited from having anything to do with his family because he's such a bad influence, getting saved, influencing these people to the gospel, introducing them to the truths of Scripture so that finally these people get saved. Now, how does that happen? That's why I say it's a thrill. It's a joy to watch how God works. And these stories could be repeated over and over and over. And it just is incredible. I could go on and on telling you about the stories of these people. But the fact of the matter is, without Christ, they're lost. The city has 185,000 people in it. Out of those 185,000, as far as we can tell, we're the only gospel-preaching church in the city. There are cults and there are charismatic churches there too, but I think they basically cause confusion. So what do we have? 115, maybe 120 people who have come to know Christ over the years. Probably on a regular basis, 70 to 75 people attend every Sunday. Is there any work to do? Yeah, there's a lot of people in Riobamba who don't know Christ as their personal Savior. There's a lot of people in Riobamba who, when they go from this world, they pass into Christless eternity. And that's unacceptable. What can we do to help them? What can we do to teach them? What can we do to introduce the Scriptures? Well, we're trying to do our part, and I wish to communicate with you this evening that you have been an influential part in that also. So I tell these stories, I talk about these people, not to toot my horn at all, but to show you that this is something that you have been involved in, and we wish to communicate that to you. I would love to answer questions. There's a lot about the ministry that I haven't been able to cover. But I would like to close with a passage of Scripture found in Philippians. I love the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 2. You know this. You know what this passage says. The Apostle Paul: "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." I think we share a fellowship in the gospel. As you lift up our needs before the Lord in prayer, we participate. We fellowship together in that. "And being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." So as we partake of the grace of God and see through the grace of God and His power, lives changed and transformed. I really consider it that you are partakers of that also. We're a team. We're partners in that. And I hope that in the short time I've had with you this evening, I've been able to communicate that. I want you to feel a part of it, and I want you to know that God is changing lives. People are coming to know Him as personal Savior. There's a lot to do still, but we praise God for that. So we'll be in the back. We'd love to answer any questions. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You humbled by the fact that in Your sovereignty and in Your wisdom, You saw fit to send Your Son to this earth. And that through the plan of God and sovereignty involved, died on the cross to provide forgiveness of sins. And that this is an open and free gift to all who believe. And that includes this small portion of the world that I've been talking about this evening. Thank You, Father, for the involvement that we've all been able to have in seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior. We know, Father, that there's a good group of people there who now have a different eternity in mind. They will face You one day and receive the blessings. Thank You for that, Father. Thank You for the wonderful gift of salvation that is accepted by all who wish to do it. We just pray, Father, that we can be faithful in what God has given us to do. We understand that the power comes from You, and we understand that the glory is Yours. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.